I can honestly say we should let the kids sing more often. Maybe that'll be our challenge for the kids, that they can start their own choir and they can sing every Sunday. I enjoyed that song very much. Thank you for singing that song. Thank you to those that helped with the kids doing that. Happy Easter, everybody. No, say it like you. Happy Easter, everybody. Listen, we come into this church, and I just preached a few weeks ago on the ministry of weeping. Today is not a day for weeping. Today is a celebration. We've spent a whole week. Listen, I'm telling you, we spent a whole week. We call it Holy Week, and we've talked about Jesus' trial, and we've talked about Jesus' crucifixion, and we took communion and remembered his death. But today is the day that sets us apart from every other religion on the face of the earth, because the tomb is empty, and he is alive, he is risen, and we have a right to celebrate, and we're gonna celebrate today because God is not dead, he's alive, and if he's alive, we can be alive. So I'm in a good mood today, and I want you to put a smile on your face and show me every tooth that you have in your mouth, because Jesus is alive. He came out of, he got victory over death, over hell, and the grave, and he is alive today. If you don't feel him, I want you to stand to your feet and clap your hands until you feel him. This is our day. This is a day of celebration. This is a day of victory. It's our day today. It is the Christian's day today. And I'm not going to be quiet about it because Jesus is alive. So I want you right now, and I tell you all the time to hurry up. I scheduled the beginning for a reason. I want you to spend 5 good minutes, and I want you to walk across the aisles, and I want you to hug on people's necks, and if you see someone that doesn't look like they want hugged, I want 5 of you to jump on their necks and hug their neck, kiss their cheek, shake their hand, smile, tell them how good it is to be in the house of God on Easter Sunday, because our God is alive, and he rose so that we could enjoy life more abundantly. Fellowship one with another and enjoy Easter. If I was you and you're introverted, I'd get a smile on your face before you just get attacked and hugged. you can continue to fellowship. I do want to keep things rolling. I want all the kids, the teachers, everybody associated with what's going to be going on downstairs, you can be dismissed at this time. They've got a lot of special things. There's a lot of candy. There's a lot of treats. There's a lot of games that they're going to do. So I want to give them ample time to go down and enjoy themselves. It is good to be here this morning for this special service. It's good to hear some noise in church. It's good to feel some life in church. I don't have any chocolate Easter bunnies for any of the adults, but if they have any left downstairs, we can partake of those. I do want to reiterate what my wife said. You can be seated this morning. I do want you to take advantage of the photo wall that's in the fellowship area. Take a picture with your family. Take a picture with some of your brothers and sisters. I will be aware of time. I know that this is a busy day for several people. You have dinner and things scheduled with your family, and I don't want to take up any of that time, so I do want to move quickly. That's why I wanted the kids to have plenty of time. They're going to have a little bit longer time than they normally do. But I want to say it again, happy Easter. Listen, we spend enough time, rightfully so, in battling things in the spirit. As a church, we pray and we come against things, and there's times that we need intercession and things like that. But on this day, we celebrate. We celebrate because 2,000 years ago, a bunch of women, early in the morning, so it was still dark outside, went to a tomb to prepare a body that had just been buried. And they had taken spices to anoint his body because they expected to find him dead. They watched him be crucified. They watched him be laid in a tomb. And on that morning, they showed up. And the stone was rolled away. And we're going to talk about that this morning because there's no other religion on the face of this earth that has what we have. And I'm not here to call names and I'm not here to bawl anybody out, but we are the only religion whose Savior died. He was dead and brought back to life so that he could live forevermore. And we should celebrate Easter every day because we know that he is alive. So I'm in such a good mood this morning, and it's not because I ate a bunch of candy, but I am going to eat a bunch when I get home. I'm not a singer. I don't claim to be a singer. I don't want to be a singer, but when I grew up in church, we sang an Easter song every single Easter, and I want it sung, so I'm going to sing it. So get your hymnal. It's in the hymnal because I believe in singing out of the hymnal because I'm old and I like the hymnals. Turn to page 213. There's music in the background, Brother Carl. It sounds good. You might want to keep it on because it might help me sound better. How many of you know this song? Okay, how many of you know the song Because He Lives? Okay, you probably don't know how I sing it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start singing it. And if you know it, here's what I want you to do. Since you have the hymnal, I want all of us stand to our feet. Let's do what they used to do in the church that I grew up in. We used to sing what we called congregationals, where the whole congregation sang. So here's what I want you to say. I'm a singer, and today I'm going to sing. I want to see your tonsils hanging in the back of your throat when we sing this song. And I want everybody, if you sing off key, I want you to sing as loud as you can so that we all feel comfortable. I'll start it, and we'll sing this song. And I'll probably start in a bad key, but we'll get going. It says, God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Let me hear you sing. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Sing it like we mean he's alive. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Verse 3, let's finish strong. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, think about it, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he lives. Sing it like we're going to see him one day. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Give yourself a big round of applause this morning. I'll put a plug in for us. You can be seated. For those of you that have just watched online and would like to sign us, we will go on tour for the right price. It's not going to be free. It's going to cost you. But if you would like to have us come to your church and sing, call me and we can work something out. I do want to say thank you to everybody that's here, our visitors and guests. I also want to say something that sometimes I neglect, and this week I was kind of reminded of it. My wife and I spent Good Friday traveling to some of our elderly saints that are unable to make it, to just greet them on this holy week and try to lift them up. And several of them said that they watch online. So for those of you watching this morning or watching this at a later date, we love you too, and we can't wait for you to be back with us. So I appreciate everybody for tuning in and for everybody being here on this Easter morning. I want to talk to you about something today, and I want to tell you we're going to talk about the resurrection and we're going to celebrate. But I read something this week that made me think about the resurrection in a way I never have before. How many of you know the story of Jesus' crucifixion, essentially? I'm not going to get real Bible study-ish on you, but Jesus was tried in a trial. He was found guilty and sentenced to death by Pilate. And then they took him out. They hung him on a tree. They took him down from the tree, laid him in a tomb, and this is the day that we celebrate him being resurrected. Well, I read a lot. I love Holy Week. I'm old. Now, I know I'm not as old as some of you, but I'm old school. Easter means a few things to me every year, and it gets harder and harder to find it. What it used to mean for me is sitting and watching the Ten Commandments. Does anybody remember the Ten Commandments? All the young people that are downstairs are like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the old Cecil B. DeMille, Charlton Heston, Ten Commandments. When you can watch it without commercials, it's not that bad. When you watch it on ABC with commercials, you have to start on Wednesday to get done so you can get to church on Sunday because the movie is like 48 hours long. But it was watching that. In the last several years, I tried to watch The Passion of the Christ during this time of year. And I think I'm not here to preach any kind of politics or anything. I think Mel Gibson did a fantastic job on that movie. It's almost impossible to get through it physically. It will make you sick to your stomach to watch it, and it should, because that's the sacrifice that our God made for us so that in this day we could be saved. But this week I read an article, and it was written by a religious man, and it really touched me. And his article was basically entitled, I Am Pilate. And it changed the way I thought about the crucifixion, because I've read it many times. Pilate says multiple times during the trial, I find no fault with this man. Now, Pilate was not a good man. Pilate was a murderer. Pilate was brutal. He was a dictator. He killed children. He killed women. He was terrible. He was a terrible, terrible human being. But when it came to trying Jesus, he said multiple times, I find no fault with this man. I don't think he's guilty of what you're saying. He might have got you riled up, but that has nothing to do with me as a leader. That's your laws. You go take care of it. I find no fault with this man. And yet, knowing he was innocent and that there was no fault with him, he takes a basin of water, he washes his hands, and he says, let his blood be upon you and upon your children. And the article said, how many of us live our lives like that? We know Jesus is guiltless. We know Jesus wants us to live for him. And we don't live against him. We're not out in the street praising Satan, but we wash our hands of the responsibility that he's called us to as saints of God, and we say, let somebody else do it. Pilate was so cowardly that he just turned them over to the priests and those in charge and let them crucify him. He even ridiculed him during the crucifixion and wrote the King of the Jews and put it up, and they said, say that he was King of the Jews. And he said, what I have written, I have written. How many of us this morning, I hope this gets next to you. You believe in God. If someone asked you, you would say, yes, I'm a Christian. But on a daily basis, when it comes to making a decision to live for him, you wash your hands. You're not against us. You're not fighting against. There's nobody out in front of the church that I know of that's picketing us this morning. There's nobody down on 20 with big signs saying, don't go up to that cult. But how many of us here this morning know that we're being called to more than what we're doing? And instead of accepting the call, we wash our hands. I hope to speak to you this morning. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. You don't have to stand. We've already talked a little bit. I want to get into the reading. I do want to get you out of here. I celebrated Easter yesterday, so I got the whole day today. So I'm excited to spend time with my wife while she cleans the house, because that's probably what she's going to do. And I'm going to watch the Guardians if they're on. Now listen, I know some of you looked at me, you're like, I thought you didn't like Cleveland. I don't like Cleveland Browns. I like Cleveland everything else. I like the Cavs and I like the Guardians. The Browns, I just can't wrap my head around it. But turn with me to Matthew 28. When you have it, say amen. If you don't have a Bible, you can see it on the screens. It says this: in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. I read that verse to let you know he is risen. Now you will hear people, if you listen to any kind of talk radio, if you've been on YouTube at all, you will hear people say things like this: there is no archaeological evidence of Jesus Christ. That is a lie. That is from the pits of hell, and I don't care who says it. If they were here, I would tell them to their face. It is time for the church of God to get back into the scripture and believe what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus rose from the dead, and in that very morning, as the ladies who were first there, now I could preach a whole message on the men this morning, but I'm not going to because the men were still asleep. The women got up and did something. They went to the tomb, and as they're running back to the city to tell his disciples like they were told, they run right into Jesus. Risen Jesus. Could you imagine that? How much different would our service go today is after we got all excited and we fellowshipped and we sang that song together. The back door opened and in walks Jesus. Okay, we'd act a whole lot different. We would act a whole lot different. Let me tell you something. Spiritually, he is already here. He is alive. If you're waiting to see him walking down Route 20, you're probably not going to see him. But I'll tell you, if you'll open your heart this morning, he will come right in and take an abode with you. Because I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning. I'm going to try to calm down. I'm going to try to be dignified this morning. I'm going to try to be pastoral this morning. I'm going to try to lower the volume. I'm going to try not to sweat that much. That's hard for guys like me. You laugh. You put this coat on and come up here. You'll be sweating too. Can I get one amen, Sister Angel? Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about receiving the power of the resurrection. Receiving the power of the resurrection. Now, in this verse text that we read, the angel told the ladies, go tell the disciples. Jesus tells the ladies, go tell the disciples. As your pastor, I'm here today to give you a charge. Go tell the world Jesus is alive. Quit being afraid. Quit being ashamed. Quit bowing to peer pressure that tells us you don't talk about religion and politics. We're not going to talk about politics, but we are going to talk about religion. And the truth is, Jesus is alive. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. If you don't have Jesus, you've got nothing. But if you have Jesus, you've got everything that you will ever need. Jesus is the way. And I don't want you just to know it deep in your heart. I want you to go tell somebody about it. I want you to witness for him. We read the Bible, we don't understand. We think that the disciples who were pressured after Jesus' resurrection, that they were put on trial because they spoke in tongues. That had nothing to do with it. We get so worked up in the church because we're apostolic and we think that people are against us because of our dress standards or the way that we live or the vices that we preach against. And that's not it at all. What they are against is the fact that we still stand on the truth that Jesus Christ is alive. And his word says, don't be surprised when you're hated of all nations, not for speaking in tongues, not for wearing suits to church, but for his name's sake. He is Jesus Christ, God in flesh, and he came out of the grave, and he's alive forevermore. Some of us are waiting for him to go back to the cross. He ain't going back. Some of us are waiting for him to go back into the manger. He ain't going back. Some of us are waiting for another resurrection. He's not going back. The next time we see him, he's coming back on a white horse with a vesture dipped in blood that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to take us up out of this place. And we're going to go live with him forevermore because Jesus is alive today. I am trying to not yell. Turn with me quickly to John chapter 10. Maybe if I keep, I told Brother Carl, I said, I'm going to go quickly through the scriptures. And Brother Carl's sitting back there right now. He's like, our pastor is a liar right in the church. Turn with me to John chapter 10. I'm going to give you a little bit of groundwork about receiving the power of the resurrection. I want you to understand this. Head knowledge of knowing that Jesus rose from the dead is not enough. Just knowing it is not enough. You've got to receive it into yourself. John chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 17 and 18. This is Jesus speaking. He says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Verse 18, very powerful scripture. No man taketh it from me, speaking of his life. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus looks on them and says, listen, I'm going on trial, and they're going to find me guilty, and they're going to sentence me to death. And they're going to take me out to Golgotha's hill, and they're going to hang me on a tree, and I am going to give up the ghost. I am going to say, it is finished. But I want you to know before it happens, no man takes my life from me. I choose. I have the power to lay my life down. I am going to willingly, by choice, give my back to the smiters, but don't be dismayed. He told the ladies while the crucifixion was going on, he said, don't weep for me. This is not a day of weeping, because not only do I have the power to lay my life down, but I want to make sure you know I also have the power to take it up again, and I'm walking out of that tomb because I'm going to gain victory over death, hell, and the grave. Our God is alive today. I'm thankful I don't pray to a dead God. I'm thankful I don't pray to a statue of wood or stone. When I get down on my knees and I need to get a hold of my Heavenly Father in the room that I'm in, I feel His presence come down. I feel His Spirit. I felt it many years ago in a service just like this. I raised my hands and all of a sudden the Spirit of God took over my tongue and filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, because our God is alive. There's a power in the resurrection, and we have it this morning. Jesus says, go back to Matthew 28. Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's talking to his disciples. Do you know that after his resurrection, the Bible says he was seen by almost 500 people? He did that for a specific reason. Because if you read the illustrations of the Gospels, the Jews, yeah, let's talk about modern day things. The Jews still teach. And you read it right from the crucifixion. When the leaders, the elected leaders of that time, found out that Jesus had risen from the dead, they were going to put the soldiers that were guarding the tomb to death for letting them, because they told a story and they paid them money. And the story is still alive today that Jesus' disciples at night came and stole the body. That's a lie. You know where you hear it? You hear it on YouTube, where you guys watch all your other lies from all your false prophets that you are following, and you wonder why you're struggling living for God. Shut YouTube off, open up the Bible, and celebrate that Jesus Christ is the only God. He is alive, and his word says it. It is true, and if it doesn't, it is a lie from hell, because the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar, and that means Tucker Carlson. Woo! So tired of YouTube and these knuckleheads, Candace Owens. Demon, demon, demon. Pray for Pastor Mike. So get back on the message. Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 18, something that we don't like to talk about. We like to be kind of middle of the road. We don't want to offend anybody nowadays. Jesus says he came. Let's start at verse 16. I know you don't have a brother Carl. Don't worry about it. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Would you doubt? I would. If Jesus walked in right now, I'd be like, we act like we'd be all happy. I wouldn't. You know why? Because if he walks in, he's really alive. And if he's really alive, he really knows everything. And that means he knows all the stuff I think about. Gwendolyn, if Jesus is alive and he walks in, he knows my search history on my computer. He knows what Katie and I actually watch on Netflix. Yeah, there's a plain preacher now. I'm going to say plain. He knows what Katie and I talk about in our car. So if he's really alive, I'd be like his disciples. Jesus appears up on a mountain. He tells them, come up to this mountain. They go up to the mountain, and Jesus shows up. Anybody ever say something like this? Oh, it just got real. Anything ever just get real? Any of you guys ever talk smack about another guy, about how you could beat him up? I do this to my wife all the time. I'm like, you like that dude. He got all the muscles. I'm like, I smoked that dude in 3 seconds. That dude got no idea. He get his hands, he gonna be in trouble. He get his hands on this, he gonna be in trouble. I will smoke that dude. I'm from the streets. I raised in the streets. She's like, you were raised in the streets of Niles. I'm like, I'm from out. You know when it gets real? When I'm talking to her, I'll tell you right now, I'll smoke that dude. She's like, he's standing behind you. And I'm like, oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me for everything. I hope he didn't hear what I said, because that dude will smoke. It gets real when you truly believe that Jesus is alive. We live sometimes like this building that we come to is just another place that we come and we like each other, and it's a social gathering and we have fellowship. And we have some cookies and donuts, and we enjoy each other's company. And we like to try to get a motivational speech, and we try to live a little bit better than maybe the world. But the reality is, the one true God of heaven died for you. And he said, I have the power to not only lay my life down. So you should cry, I believe, on Wednesday, not Friday, but we're not going to argue.
But on Sunday, he came back up because he said, I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it back up. And Matthew 28 and 18 says this, and Jesus came and spake unto them saying, say that word with me. You know what that means? I'm going to say some names and some people might get mad. Buddha has no power. Confucius, no power. Allah, oh, you better watch your mouth. No power. All power. Whoo, that encompasses all power. All power. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. You got Jesus, you've got everything that you need. If you don't got him, you ain't got nothing. All power is given to me. Jesus said that. His disciples didn't say that. Jesus said that. Go ahead and follow these other religions. Do whatever you want. And I'm not going to rattle sabers with you. I'm not going to fall out with you. I'm going to love you because that's what the Bible says. But there's going to come a day when each one of us is going into the ground. And I want to make sure that when I go into the ground, I've got that same power that Jesus had. Because Romans says, if the same spirit abide in you that abided in Jesus, you're coming back up out of the ground just like he did. Woo, Holy Ghost, hallelujah, happy Easter, Jesus is alive. Turn with me to Luke. This is what happens when I pray not to scream. Somebody needs to get a prayer through because I'm going to lose my voice on Easter and then I'm not going to be able to bug my wife all afternoon. And she really, really wants me to. Luke chapter 24, when you have it, say amen. It's on the screen. Jesus' last words. He appears to the 10, and he says this in verse 45. We'll start reading. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. This is the risen Lord. This is the risen Jesus. He says, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he looks at them and says, ye are witnesses of these things. The reason that the disciples all faced the deaths that they did was because they would not back up from the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Paul stood before Felix and Augustus and said, Jesus is alive. Peter preached, Jesus is alive. All of the disciples except John the Revelator died of martyrdom. They were murdered, not because they wore long dresses and didn't cut their hair. They were murdered because they would not bow to political pressure that said, all you've got to do is shut up and quit talking about Jesus. And they said, we will glory in our infirmities. We will be excited for the right to be able to be punished for saying that Jesus is alive. The church needs to get a backbone and start telling the world Jesus is alive. He's the only way to heaven. All roads lead to Rome, Brother Mike. I'm not trying to get to Rome. I'm trying to get to heaven. And all power is given unto Jesus. The kids downstairs are freaking out right now. They're eating rabbits going, what in the, is Jesus coming back right now? Maybe it's a good message for them. Maybe somebody will get the Holy Ghost in children's church. Behold, I send the promise, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. There's that word. Everywhere we read, Jesus is talking about power. power. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Jesus said, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. And Jesus now says, go to Jerusalem, because I'm going back to heaven, and I want you to stay there. I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands. He blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. How many of you believe that if you were there that day? Listen, I want to be plain. We've already talked about how we're Pilate because we wash our hands all the time of our responsibilities. But how many of you would say, you know what? If I was there that day and I literally saw Jesus take us out to an edge of a cliff as far as we could walk, raise his hands and say a blessing over us, and while he's blessing us, he immediately just goes to heaven. How many of you would listen to my preaching more if in the middle of my preaching, I raised my hands and I floated up into heaven? Would any of you listen to me more? Or would all of you be like, thank God, now we can get a new preacher? Jesus takes them out on the side of a hill. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them. Now, what did he tell them right before he left? What did we just read? He said, I'm going to send the promise of my Father unto you. Ye are going to be witnesses. So go to Jerusalem and stay there. Don't leave until ye receive power from on high. Now remember, Jesus has just told him, all power in heaven and in earth is mine. So I want you, my disciples, ye are witnesses. You've seen me. One of the qualifications to be an apostle was you had to physically see the risen Lord. He takes them out on a hillside and he says, you're going to see some things because repentance and remission of sins is going to start to be preached in Jerusalem. So go right now to Jerusalem and don't leave until you receive power. How many of you today realize if you are a recipient of the Holy Ghost, you have power? We don't use it. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. We have the ability as saints of God to bind things on earth. We can speak to sickness. We can speak to depression. And it has to be bound because God gives us all power just like his. It's a promise of his Father. So the question is, and I know you're saying it right now, here he goes. He's up there spitting and screaming and stomping, scaring the kids, and all I want is ham. How do we get that power, Brother Mike? You're up there blowing your mouth off. How do we get the power? I'm glad you asked. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. I'm trying to be dignified today. It's Easter. I even wore my green tie to match my wife's dress, which I'm diabolically against. I've told my wife, don't you ever start doing that. I'm not. Matching's for kids under 5 and men where they met when men have just, I haven't given up yet. I'm only 51. I'm going to be 51 this week. I haven't given up yet. I know men get to an age, they just give up. They just do whatever their wife says. Not me. I'm still an oppositional force. I think we should wear this. I'm not wearing that just because you said it. So when you start seeing us, when you start seeing Katie and I walk in and we do match, please just, please come up and hug me. Because I've just given up. I've just laid it down and I don't have the power to take it back up. I just gave up my manhood, but right now I still have it. I'm a man. I'm going to take my tie off just to show her. But if I do, she'll make me put it back on to get a picture by that wall, so I got to leave it on. Acts chapter 1. This is Luke, the beloved physician, writes Acts. We just read in Luke about the account of Luke when Jesus was transcended and ascended to heaven before them. Luke picks up in the Acts of the Apostles in verse 1, or chapter 1, and verse 7, it says, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse number 8, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Luke picks up in Acts right where he left off in his epistle or in his gospel. They are tandem works that go right together. So what we see in the end of the gospel of Luke is Jesus is on a mountain, and while he's blessing them, he leaves, and his last words are, "Go into Jerusalem." In Acts chapter 1, we pick up the same author. They are now in Jerusalem, and he begins to speak, and he says, "You're going to receive power," just like he said in Luke, "after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Turn with me to the second chapter of Luke or Acts, and let's read starting at verse 1. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place." That's the key to the church's revival in one sentence. We have got to get in one place. We are in one place this morning. This is one place. Are we in one accord? Are our minds and our hearts all set and focused on the same thing? Because when it happens, there's a power that infiltrates that space. It's called the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, they went into an upper room. I believe it's the same upper room where they took the Lord's Supper just a few days before. We just talked about that in communion. They are in an upper room. There's about 120 people. Let me give you some of the names of the people that are there. Any of you Roman Catholic, do you know who was in the upper room? The Virgin Mary, Jesus' mother, received the Holy Ghost just like I did and just like you did. She was a recipient of the power that was promised to her by not only her Son on earth, but by her Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. The apostles were there. There's about 120 people. They're in an upper room. What are they doing in that room? That's exactly right. The very thing that we can't do. Jesus told them, the risen Lord said, "Go to Jerusalem and wait." Tarry is the Bible word. Wait. Wait until you receive power from on high. They didn't know how it was going to come. They didn't know what they were going to do. All they did was they believed Jesus. And how could they not? Because they had seen the risen Lord. They watched him die. They watched him come out of the tomb. And they heard him give instruction. And his instruction was, "Go to Jerusalem and wait." Who likes those instructions? What if I told you, Katie and I want to take you for dinner today. Hector and Nicole, we're going to take you out for dinner for Easter. All right? Well, this is hypothetical. He's like, "Thank you. Hold on." And you say, "Where do you want to go?" And I say, "Well, I want to go to Red Lobster in Ashtabula." You like Red Lobster? Yeah. All right. You two go down there and wait. Get us a table and wait. You say, "Okay, it's Easter. They're not going to be busy." And you go down and you sit there. And it's 9 o'clock tonight. And they're like, "Can you people leave?" And they're like, "No, we're waiting." "Waiting for what? Our pastor said he's going to come take us out." "Well, your pastor's a liar." And you wait overnight. They shut it down. Next morning, you're still sitting there. Because do you realize they're there, according to Scripture, anywhere between 7 and 10 days. Most of us can't wait 7 or 10 minutes. But they had a word from the Lord. Some of you got to get back to believing that God's alive. Some of you need a refresher course. You need to see Jesus today before you leave. You need to let him enlighten himself back into your soul so that you can walk this walk, because you're trying to do it on your own and you're trying to do it on your head knowledge and your wisdom of scripture, and you need a spirit. You need to see God. God needs to show himself to you. You need to receive the power of the resurrection. They're waiting 7 to 10 days in an upper room. There's 120 people. Could you imagine some of the discussions going on? Could you imagine if I told you guys to sit in here for 2 hours and there was 120 of you and then I left? 5 minutes in, I can point out the names. I won't, because I love you and I want you to have a happy Easter. But I could tell you the people that are going to go walking around and be like, this knucklehead, what's he making? What? I got stuff to do. I got a family. I got to do this. They're waiting 7 to 10 days. 7 to 10 days, verse 1. What's it say? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one, no one left, and they were in one accord. And suddenly, oh, I'm praying for this church to get a suddenly. I'm praying for some of you that have had the Holy Ghost for years for God to move on you suddenly. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. In verse 4, remember in chapter 1 it said you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. The whole house, everybody in attendance, there wasn't one that didn't believe. All 120 immediately are filled with the Holy Ghost. What comes with the Holy Ghost? Power. Let me ask you something. I want to be straight, plain, forward, straight to your face. How many of you today have received the Holy Ghost? Where's your power? The Bible says if you believe in faith, you can speak to a mountain and say, be thou removed. You can look at a tree and say, uproot yourself and cast yourself into the sea. That's what the scripture says. I'm sick and tired of the church being mentally and spiritually weak. We need to have power because God gave it to us. We need to start looking at things that are not and speaking to them as if they already are, and believing that God is going to change it. Some of you need to lay hands on your spouse. I'm going to preach it while I have time to preach it. Some of you need to lay hands on your problem and speak faith to it and trust God that it's going to move. This church is going in a different direction. And if you're not comfortable with it, I'll sign your letter of transfer. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to fuss with you. But I'm sick and tired of having all power available to me and me walking around like a little crippled redheaded stepchild when my God has all power. Cancer means nothing to God. Drug addiction means nothing to God. We should lay our hands on people and immediately the deliverance is given. Peter was so powerful with God. The man that's reading this, the man that speaks up in a few verses and gives the keynote address on the day of Pentecost, he was so powerful, him and the Apostle Paul, that they would walk past sick people. They would be trying to get away from sick people. And if their shadow fell on somebody with a disease, they were miraculously healed. They used to take napkins and aprons, and Peter would put them on his body, and they would send them to people, and they would get the napkin, and immediately they are healed. And that same power abides in us. I'm not joking. It's time for some of us to go home and grab our husbands by the head and pray Jesus into them. Amen. I have two sons. They're both filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can ask them both. They're probably watching. And they'll tell you, when I pray with people at the altar, I mean it. I don't joke around. I joke around about a whole bunch of stuff. But if you come up here and you ask for deliverance, I believe God can do it. So when my sons would come pray, I would tell my wife, I'm not praying with them. I don't want to pray with them. I don't want to break their concentration. But there were times when I would look and my sons would be earnestly seeking the Holy Ghost. They'd be praying with everything they had in them. And God would say, go over and lay your hands upon them. And I'd say, no, God, I don't want to. No, God, I don't want to. Because God, you know how I am. I go all in. I'm nuts. I'm a crazy person. God, I believe you. I believe that what your word says is true. And I remember one time Mikey was praying and he was earnestly seeking. His face had tears all down his face. He's crying out, God, give me the Holy Ghost. God, I want the Holy Ghost. God, I want to be saved. And I walked across that church and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I grabbed him by his head and I lifted him up off the ground. Katie's got a picture. I'm telling you, it's real. It's real. We have all power. We're not using it. You know why? Because we're willing to be Pilate. You know why some of you didn't invite anybody to Easter today? Because you're embarrassed. You're ashamed. You want the blessings of God. You want the mercies of God. You don't want the stigma of being one of those people. That's why you dress the way you do when you're not here. That's why you talk the way you do when you're not here. That's why you act and do the things you do when you're not here. You've convinced yourself in your mind God doesn't care about those things anymore. And you wonder, you don't really, you play the victim. You say things like, church ain't the way it used to be. No, church is exactly the way it used to be. You've changed. God didn't change. The Holy Ghost didn't change. Jesus said, I am the Lord. I change not. Some of you I know. Some of you have been in services, old-time services. Some of you have seen healing crusades. Some of you, like me, have watched people. I laid hands on a woman in a service on a Sunday morning. She was unsaved. She was the daughter of one of my favorite older members. She was kind of a manly woman. Anybody know any manly women? Yes, I know a lot of them. She was a truck driver, and she lost her job because in her eye, she went blind. Her retina detached from her eye. And because she legally could no longer see, she lost her job as a truck driver. She was not a believer. She didn't want anything to do with God. Her mother invited her to a church service. She came in and she looked like a dude. She was dressed like a dude. She was built like a dude. She talked like a dude. You're being rude. I would go hug her neck. I can still talk to her to this day. She got up in a service because we were having a move of God. And she came up to the front and she said, I want prayer to be healed. And we laid our hands on her head in Niles, Ohio at 1156 Fifth Street on a Sunday morning and prayed the prayer of faith. And she walked back to her seat about where Sister Brenda was sitting. And she stood up and she said, I can see. She went and got her job back. Some of you don't want to be healed because you like workman's comp. I'm going to preach to you this morning. You can get mad at me all you want. I'm tired of acting like every other Tom, Dick, and Harry that doesn't know the Jesus that I know. Jesus Christ said, all power is given to me. And if you'll tarry in Jerusalem, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I've received the Holy Ghost, so I'm going to take Jesus at his word and realize that right now I've got all the power that I need to do greater works than even he did. Amen, brother Mike. How do you do it? Drop down verse 2. I took a little bit more time on that, but I want to talk to you about the unity of Pentecost in verses 14 through 36, but read that when you get home. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, because Peter preached a message kind of just like I just preached to you. We don't read it all because in the next couple of verses it says, and with many more words did he exhort them. We think that Peter preached this little couple messages. Peter preached for a long time, and essentially what he told them was this same Jesus, not the new Jesus that Tucker Carlson talks about, not the new Jesus on YouTube where people tell you that God hates Israel, not that Jesus, this same Jesus that you've taken out and crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. He looked them right in, he said, you guys are the ones that found him guilty. It's you that killed him. You hung him on the tree. You drove the nails in his hands. You betrayed him. Don't preach like that. When he preached like that, verse 37, it says, now when they heard these things, they were pricked in their heart. I know with some of the things I've said today. Now, I know I don't expect a big response. It's Easter. And I know you're starting to feel it because I can feel it. I'm winding it down, and you're feeling it. I've survived one more time. I talked to a lady this week that watches my things on YouTube, and she's like, I want to come to church so bad. She's like, but man, it's intense in my living room. What's it like in there? I said, come on in. She's like, I'm scared to come in there. She's like, you're intense. I can feel it right now in the spirit. Yeah, I survived one more. He was close today. He got all the way back to Greg. I thought he was going to grab me by the head. Peter preached to him, and it says when they heard this, this is where some of you sit this morning. Read this with me. They were pricked in their heart. I've said things today. I've watched your countenance. I've watched people in this building this morning shed tears. I've watched people, their countenance with everything. They believe every word I'm saying. They're not arguing with me. They're not upset with me. They crack a joke every once in a while to break the tension because it does get a little bit intense. So they face things like, oh, there he goes. He's spitting again. And it's their way of alleviating that pressure that they feel. But on the day of Pentecost, the men that he preached to said they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, they say, men, what do we have to do? What do we have to do? Verse 38 is their answer. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you remember right before Jesus left in Luke, he said, I'm going to send the promise of my Father unto you. Can you go to verse 39, Brother Carl? You'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost that we know comes with power for the promise. This is exactly what he was talking about. This is exactly what Luke had prophesied in his gospel and in the first chapter. The promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost. You know who's eligible to receive the Holy Ghost? Every one of you. You know what you have to do? I'm going to squash some beliefs. I told you, we stand different today. There's many churches in this city that will tell you to come up at this point and repeat after me a sinner's prayer. And that if you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. And you want me to disagree with them, but I don't.
What?
They try to teach that if you confess with your mouth, you are saved. If you confess with your mouth, you've made the first step to be saved. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They said, repent, confess, and be baptized, every one of you. Who's forbidden from that? Who's left out of that? Well, I'm afraid of water. Well, come up and get in it with me, and we'll have a good time. I don't like going underwater. You won't be under there that long. Unless you aggravate me before we baptize you, then I'll hold you under there a little bit longer. Make sure you get some real Jesus in you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that power is going to come upon you. Why? For this promise, it's unto you, it's unto your children, it's unto your children's children, it's unto all those that are afar off. Any of you got family problems? Any of you got issues in your family? What you need is not a counselor. What you need is the counselor, the Holy Ghost. And it's a promise. So I'm going to ask you, we're still early. I got 2 minutes. Is there anybody here this morning willing to say, today's my day? I'm not going to force you. I know what God has spoken to you in this service. Matter of fact, I know how God's been dealing with you before this service. You put your game on. You put your game face on. You survive. It's a shame to come into a church and feel like you need to survive. If I can just get to the end, because the Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. If I can endure the service right before Brother Mike says amen, I'll run out so he can't grab me in the vestibule and talk to me. I'll go into the bathroom before I leave, just like Pilate, and one more time, I'll wash my hands. Paul was standing before Agrippa. He was giving an account. He was going to be sentenced to death. He died for this gospel. And he was telling them of the resurrection. And he said, after the way that you call heresy, I worship the God of my fathers. The very thing that you're against is the way, is why I'm standing here before you, and I'm not backing up from it because I believe in the gospel. And he looked at him and he said, almost, Paul. Almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I feel it in every fiber of my being in this church. Every Sunday, we get right there. We get right there. It's the times when everyone that was laughing during my jokes, they don't make eye contact. They're counting. They're breathing in. They're getting in the back of the pew, and they're like, trust me, he's only got five more. Five more minutes and we're home. And you're going to wash your hands one more time. And you're going to walk back into that house with the same issues that you walked out of it this morning, with no power, with no victory, with no ability to walk in and speak to your mountain and know that it's got to move. And you're literally you're 21 feet from heaven. You're in one place this morning. You're sitting less than 21 feet from making heaven your eternal home on a memorable Easter Sunday. God stopped by in this place, not because we had the most eggs, not because we had the most baskets to give away, although there's a lot down there. Some of you are going to eat good this afternoon because of your kids. He stopped by here because he's heard your prayers. He's seen your tears. He sees the stuff that your spouse doesn't see. He hears the requests that you don't say in front of them because you don't want to rock the boat. And you're sitting in this building right now, 21 feet from eternal salvation. So I'm going to ask you point blank. Are you going to come? Or are you going to wash your hands? If you come to this altar, God's going to take care of every problem in your life. If you don't, you're going to wish you did. If you go to hell, and I'm not trying to pre-scare you, if you do not receive the Holy Ghost, you cannot go to heaven, because the Bible says without his spirit, you are none of his. You must be born of water and of spirit. That's scripture. That's not Brother Mike. But here's what Brother Mike believes. If you go to hell, one of your punishments in hell, in addition to flames that cannot be quenched, the worm dieth not, weeping and gnashing of teeth, you're going to see this service. You're going to see my big, ugly face with my big, ugly head begging you to be saved. And as you're in punishment for eternity, you're going to hear you were 21 feet away. There's power. There's power over drug addiction. There's power over sexual abuse. There's power over physical abuse. There's power over a broken heart from family trauma. There's power over divorce. There's power over broken families. There's power over sin. There's power over lust. And it's available in this place this morning. Will you receive the power of the resurrection? I'm done preaching. Brother Carl, if you could you put on some music so that if there's anybody who wants to pray, they're not praying in silence. I hope you have the best Easter you've ever had. I hope your kids had a blast in the basement. I hope your meal's the most delicious thing you ever ate. But more than any of that, oh God, I wish you would respond to the call of God in your life. We used to sing a song. I'm not going to sing. I already butchered one that you had to sing with me. It said, he ain't never done me nothing. Done me nothing but good. My life was in a wreck. My wife and I were on a road to divorce.
I know you guys don't believe it. You don't believe me. My wife physically took my kids and left. We were on our way to divorce. And you know what? The devil was laughing the whole time. Because everyone says that we get two birds with one stone. If we would have just given in to the pressure, he would have got four. As a matter of fact, he would have got five now, because now we have a little granddaughter that's being raised in the truth. But I walked into a church just like this, and the preacher said, there's hope for you. There's an answer for what you're facing. And I was at wit's end. I didn't even go to the altar because I didn't have the guts. I stood in my seat and raised my hands on a Sunday morning and cried out to God, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost on Sunday morning. And since he has, he's put my family back together. He's put my finances back together. You're looking at a man that suffered a stress-induced heart attack at 39 years old. I haven't had heart issues since. You're looking at a man that survived cancer, all because of God getting into my life. I still don't know how, I still don't know why, but I don't care, because the favor of God's on my life. So every once in a while, I just look to heaven in my undignified way and I yell out, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for caring about me. Thank you, God, for keeping my family together. Thank you, God, for keeping my wife. Thank you, God, for my health, because he's been good to me and he's given me the power to walk this life in this world, and he wants to give it to you too. As the church stands and they begin to play, this altar's open. If you want to pray on this Easter, just to come pray, I think it would be good for the entire church to come and receive the power of the resurrection. Thank you for your attention. I love every one of you. Let's gather in for a good season of prayer.